Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed, so I call your name, your name.
And welcome to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. I'm Bob Ginsberg, and I'm here with Tom and Melissa Gould. Thank you for joining us tonight. We will be, as we do in every gathering, addressing questions that you have emailed in, or please feel free to call us during the show and ask a question or discuss something. The number here is 888-627-6008. And before we get started, just a couple of things. I know the raffle where you could win a reading with one of five certified mediums has about another month to go. So you have a chance for $5 to support the work of the foundation and win a reading with a certified medium. And some of these mediums, as you know, have very extensive waiting lists. So here's your chance to get in and get a reading in a reasonable amount of time. There's a webinar coming up on May 24th, Living with Ghosts. The information is on our website under the event section, so you can register for that. Other than that, grief retreats, unfortunately, for those wishing to get in, are all booked up, but you can get on the waiting list for any particular retreat by sending an email to fff@foreverfamilyfoundation.org. And by the way, the next retreat that we'll be posting will be in March of next year, but we're going to get that up within the next month or two because the others are all filled up, so we want to give people a chance to get in. That's all I have about that, so we can get into some of the – we got quite a number of emails with questions, and we'll get right into it. Let's see. The first one – I'd really like to hear your opinion on the following. What are the chances that after you die, you will be reunited with loved ones? Will that be a brief meeting or on passing, or can it be long for a longer period? And then adds a question, if souls reincarnate, how are all those spirits still out there? Well, a couple of questions there. If we, the first one is, what are the chances that after you die, you'll be reunited with loved ones? From what we know, the chances are really good because that seems to be what the mediums tell us. That seems to be what the majority of near-death experiencers tell us. So I think that our loved ones are waiting for us, and they're not impatient. They just know they'll see us when they see us. That's the way it is. I don't think you guys would disagree with that, would you, Tom?
No. Complete agreement.
Yeah. As far as will that be a brief meeting or on passing, or can it be for longer? I guess we really don't know. I mean, all we know is that they will greet you, whether they need to get back to what they were doing and put you in the good hands of others, or we can't really say. I think we can all feel rest assured that we will reunite. The last question, maybe Tom, you want to tackle that. If souls reincarnate, how are all those spirits still out there?
Okay, that's an interesting, I'm trying to figure exactly what they're asking.
I think what they're asking, Tom, is because if the souls are all in the afterlife realm,
right.
And then they choose to come back.
then they're not up there.
And they're not up there. Yeah.
It's, it's time for you to blow my mind again with this tentacle story.
Well, actually, first of all, not every spirit reincarnates necessarily. There are different levels. We're at a we're at one level vibrationally, frequency wise, and then when you lose this body, you go to another level frequency wise. But I have understanding that there are other levels above that, so you could be going up rather than coming back down. But the big question is, well, and a lot of people, this leads into somebody else's question is, well, if my loved one has reincarnated and then I pass over, how am I going to see them again? And with that, it was a question that came up at the last grief retreat, and John Holland handled it very well, so I'm going to borrow from his description, is that our soul is like a hard drive on your computer. And on that hard drive, you have apps. Well, our existence here on this planet right now is an app. Your hard drive is still your hard drive. When you finish with this app, this life, you're going to go back to the hard drive. And that's where, so you never leave that necessarily. You just call up a different app. If you want to live in the 17th century, you call up that app. You want to live on Earth right now, you call up that app. You know, so they're all apps as part of your souls, but your soul is still a part of the large, unobstructed universe.
I'm not computer literate, so that's still a hard
question. Here's an interesting question. Do people fall in love on the other side? If you didn't find it on this planet, could it happen in the afterlife? Just curious. I don't see why not. You know, yeah. I mean, as entities of energy and thought on the other side, we have emotions, deeper emotions than we have here. And although we may be connected to everybody in some way, there are many souls on the other side that we didn't know and we're probably meeting for the first time. So it's not physical love, but I don't see why it couldn't happen. That's never been asked before. What do you think?
Yeah, I think, and you know, from the near-death experiences we've heard about, one of the first things that people are struck with when they momentarily cross the other side is just how much love they feel on the other side. And, you know, if I can tell anecdotally, we had a volunteer for the Forever Family Foundation who had several, at least two near-death experiences. And she felt back here on Earth that she had trouble finding love on a physical plane because nothing could match the love she felt in the near-death experience. So not only will you find love on the other side, it'll be much greater than any love that's here on Earth.
Say people, at least in our favorite Testimony of Light story, that on the other side, souls of similar nature find themselves grouped together, which always struck me more importantly as if you're a vain person and hiding it here in the physical form when you get to the other side, or if you're putting on a front for people, as we've sometimes met folks who do that. All drops away when you get to the other side. So similarly, somebody who's crossed over will find themselves in a like-minded soul group. So it might be natural that they find themselves drawn to another spirit of similar. Often people, you see couples that look like one another that have come together, and it might be similar with the souls that like spirits find one another.
Here's a question. When getting a medium reading, is there anything the sitter can do to prepare to help the medium connect to their energy more easily? You know, the only thing would be possibly, and we usually suggest it, is that before the reading, maybe say a little silent prayer or send your thoughts out to your person in spirit that you like to communicate with, and ask them to come through the medium, right? And other than that, it's just really remaining open and sort of let anything that come through come through. I don't know if you have any, you guys have any other suggestions for that.
Yeah, I mean, I think we should caveat that, because lead this into, yes, that is a thing you can do. But the bottom line is, it's not in your control. It's not in the medium's control. It's in the control of the spirit. Now, whether the spirit is able to lower their vibration to be able to communicate, or if they're available to communicate, or if they have trouble connecting with the particular medium with you, there are a lot of variables that can restrict a reading. And as you said, Bob, the best thing to do is to, before you go for a reading, to meditate and ask your loved one to come and see you. But again, nothing's guaranteed in that.
Right. You should drop all expectations and just be open to whoever comes through.
Yeah, a lot of the time you're going to hear from somebody you had no expectation of hearing from, and it'll throw you. I've sat for mediums many, many times, and I'm constantly amazed when you're actually in the situation. It's overwhelming, and the medium will tell you something, and if you're concentrated, I want to hear from my father, I want to hear from my father, and then your uncle comes through and it's not matching with your father, and you're going, well, it confuses you. And one reason that it's very good to always bring some sort of recording device. Most people's phone has a voice recorder on it, and be sure to record your sessions. Because as I say, I've had many readings, and oftentimes I don't understand what's being given to me at that time. But I go home and I listen to the recordings, or I talk to a relative who knew the situation better. And then a couple of days later, I go, oh, that's what they were talking about. So yeah, don't expect to get everything you want or need right at the moment. It's very important to make a recording so that you can revisit the readings.
And I'd also like to add that people might disagree with me, but I always approach, I haven't had that many one-on-one readings for myself, but the couple that I've had, I approached it open-minded, and I knew I was going to be enjoying a conversation with a loved one. I didn't know which loved one it was going to be, but each time I approached it like that, I was not disappointed. And this is where people might disagree with me. I don't like to just give a no. If the medium says, do you understand that? I don't want to say no. I'd prefer to say, well, let me think about it, or I wrote it down, or I'll listen to this recording again. But I sometimes feel like that no just stops, sort of gets them stuck for a moment. And so that's just my approach. And also, as we've heard, don't sit there with your arms crossed and look like you have an attitude like you're challenging them. Be open. You can always dispute it in your mind later or with others, but in the moment, be as open as you possibly can.
Yeah, and another thing is, take what you get. I've had several people that I've seen after a reading. I said, well, how was your reading? well, my husband came through and yeah, they got this right and this right. They're sorry, but they didn't mention anything about our boat. And it's like, well, that's not going to always happen. You know, take what you, the message you did get, and don't worry about what you didn't get.
Yeah. Right.
I would add, Melissa, that there are some things that you just have to say no to. Like if the medium says to you, is your husband in spirit? That's a clear no.
Well, right? Okay.
You don't say, I'm going to think about that.
You're right, Mom. I'm glad you added that. I certainly would be discerning. Thank you.
All right. So here's an interesting thing. This listener, she was listening to our Mediums and Messages radio show. And she writes, when a sudden thought popped into my head, and I wondered if my lost loved one is with her aunt who passed around 20 years ago. I haven't thought about this lady in a long time as I didn't really know her, but my loved one was close to her. I was then trying to remember her name, and just at that moment, the name came through as a message for the caller on the show. So she wants to know, was my original thought a message from spirit because they knew the name was about to come up, which would remind me? I tend to think, though, we're always saying that if somebody in spirit wants to get through, they're going to find a way to get through. And we don't know how they do it, but it seems that way. So there is the possibility that her loved one sees that mediums and messages opportunity to, because they knew that she was listening, to mention that name. And it might not have meant anything to the person that the medium was reading, but it meant something to her. You guys have seen that.
Oh yeah.
A lot, right?
Yeah. And that's another thing to also bring up is there's a lot of situation they call piggybacking, where a spirit will come through for somebody on this side of the room, but three or four of the things are exactly for you. And you're thinking, well, it can't be for me because they're over there reading this other person. You can take that because, yes, spirit will, as you just mentioned, they see the opportunity to get a message through, and they will piggyback on somebody else's message to throw you something. So that is very real, yes.
So it means that it doesn't necessarily mean the message coming through is for you, but your spirit is there as well, encouraging you to pay attention.
Or as Bob mentioned, where the sitter who's being read doesn't understand it, whereas you understand it. So yeah, it is for you.
I know in a group reading that we've seen with one of our certified mediums, she'll announce to the group all these different bits of information, you know, a father, and I'm seeing someone in military, and I'm seeing cancer, and she'll go on for a bit, and then she'll say, how many of you can claim that? And hands go up, and then can you claim all of it? And someone will say, well, the name and the military. And then she'll say, well, what about you? And that person might claim all the pieces. So that's how she discerns who she's with.
Yeah. And when they do that, you know, just to clarify, I mean, if somebody mentions one particular fact in a group and five people raise their hand, it's not that very evidential, right? But if they go on before they ask for a show of hands and they mention two facts that are somewhat obscure, then statistically it becomes more improbable. You know, and if they mention five or six or seven different pieces of information, if you calculate the odds, as Dr. Parisetti, you know, has done, then sometimes the odds are astronomical, you know, that it would fit, you know, fit somebody by coincidence. So, you know, it's a good point. I'm glad you brought that up. Here's a question. I mean, we've discussed this a lot on the show, but any thoughts about IADC, induced after-death communication, as an extension of EMDR therapy? Yeah, I mean, some of our people are trained in IADC, like Dr. Mohanna. It's a very effective process. Doesn't work with everybody, but about 70% of the people that go through the IADC procedure have encounters with deceased loved one. So, yeah, we think that induced after-death communication is a form of evidence of survival. So we think anybody that's looking to explore that should. Here's a question. If my loved one died by suicide, does he remember how and why he passed in this manner? The evidence seems to show that everybody remembers the manner in which they pass, whether it be suicide or cancer or a heart attack. And we know this because that's one of the bits of evidence that they convey to the medium. The medium says, oh, did your loved one die from a heart attack, die from cancer, and so forth? So, yeah, I think that they recognize that they died by suicide. You know, they may regret it, you know, just like anybody might regret something that they have done in the physical life. And then it goes on from there. I mean, it's progress and you know, they get help and so forth. But I certainly think that most people, if not all people, remember how they died. Don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's one of the first items of evidence that they, as you say, the mediums, especially the ones who were taught at the Arthur Findlay School in England, their first order of business is to establish the cause of death and as evidence that they've got your loved one. And yes, they do know. In fact, a lot of times I will hear a medium say, well, they're accepting responsibility for their passing, which could mean a suicide, or it could clear up things. Somebody who has a drug overdose and the police come in and rule it a suicide, often the spirit comes through and say, no, I didn't mean to kill myself, it just happened. So you do get a very specific information as to whether it was a legitimate, whether it was an actual suicide or an accident.
Yeah, I would imagine there are circumstances where there's confusion. I mean, let's say I was shopping in the supermarket and there was a massive explosion. And the next thing I know, you know, I wake up and I'm in another realm. I don't know how, you know, it happened. You know, maybe I could put the pieces together, so to speak. But in most cases, yeah, I think people know how they passed. Here's another one. Having had sessions with talented mediums, I have received evidence of loved one's persistence after death. However, I sometimes wonder if what comes through is from living beings or from the thoughts or impressions related to memory or emotion that linger but are accessible somehow, either in a larger human consciousness or perhaps even in my own subconscious. Can you address this? Well, you know, it's one of the common arguments against mediumship, but it's always been that first they say the mediums are reading people's minds. Others have said, which the person alluded to in the question, that maybe there's this greater information field of human consciousness, and the medium somehow is able to pick out that information from this enormous data field, which seems just as more improbable than communicating, you know, with the dead. And of course, the best argument is stuff that comes through that the sitter is unaware of. The medium and the sitter are totally unaware of it, and later they find out to be true. And as we've discussed many times, picking out data from an information field is different than how do you extract somebody's personality, where the medium starts taking on the personality of the loved one. So, it's been an argument. It's always been an argument, or they're just reading my mind. But, you know, we know that some of the scientists do studies in blinded protocol, so that eliminates the possibility, because it's not even the real sitter that's in there. It's a proxy, you know, sitter. So, I think that we've studied this enough to say that the best explanation is communication, you know, with the dead. You have anything you want to add to that, Tom?
Yeah, just an example. I know, I believe it was Angelina talks about a story where she was reading something and the sister and the other sister. And she said, well, your sister was quite the writer. And the sister who was getting the reading said, I don't know about that being a writer. I never knew about that. And she goes, well, go, there's a chest upstairs, and she's got journals in there. And the other one's like, nah, that doesn't sound like my sister. Well, sure enough, she went home. She went up to the chest. She opened it up. There were journals. So you couldn't read the mind of somebody who didn't even know that they were there. And then as the caller's question started, that they've been to many very good mediums, and a good medium can tell the difference between if they're just reading psychically your aura and that sort of thing, or if they're getting a communication from the other side, because they come to them in different ways and from different directions.
True.
Okay. I have read of the books mentioned on your show, like the ones by Anthony Borgia. He says that they live in houses, they meaning people in spirit. Yet in other books, I've read that there's no need for houses, so we don't have any physical bodies that need shelter. What's your take on this? We've discussed this before. I think that we can manifest what we want. So if we're comfortable in living in a house, maybe the same house that we lived in the physical, we can make that happen. Or if we don't have any need for food, but if we were a foodie in the physical, we have a yen for something, we can manifest that. So, yeah, I mean, when we say that we live in houses, I guess that's only for the people that desire to do so. I know I've read a lot of these channel books where people talk about, you know, these vast libraries, you know, and places of learning and so forth. And maybe that's not an individual choice. That's like a collective choice that people wanted. But I don't know. You think you guys are going to live in a house?
I really like houses. I just am drawn to houses. But our son-in-law is more about camping in the woods, and I don't know if he'd really find the need for a house.
Yeah.
I think you can manifest, though, whatever would be your desired.
Yeah.
And the food, too. You know what? Right now I could think about, you know, perhaps the way chocolate mousse tastes, and I could think about it, and I don't actually need to go eat it. I just can remember the texture and the flavor.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was interesting about the allusion to libraries, because I was reading a book, Raymond Moody, one of the first to talk about near-death experiences, and what he found was that people come back, a large percentage of people who come back from a near-death experience immediately sign up for classes. They feel that they need to continue their education, And this book I'm reading right now, getting through almost to the end, The Unobstructed Universe, they talk about the quantity of life, that you have a quantity of life. And if your quantity of life is good, when you cross over, it's an easier transition because you will feed off of that quantity and grow. I'm still trying to formulate some sort of understanding that I can explain or grasp, and it's still nebulous, but I was struck with those comments.
I've read that book and found myself reading the same chapter 2-3 times to try to get it to sink in. Some of it is rough. Let's take a caller. We have Cassie from California on the line.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Welcome to the gathering.
Okay.
Did you have a question?
I do have a question. I guess it would be, if this makes sense, how, you know, sometimes we recently lost someone we loved, very close in the family, and sometimes I see different things happening, like lights or different, or birds coming around that never did before, and I'm like wondering, is that something I'm wishing for, or are they sometimes signs from our loved ones letting us know they're okay?
Well,
is there a way?
You know, the only way to really determine it is like an inner feeling. If something unusual happens, like a bird comes that you normally don't see, or a bird that just, you know, hovers nearby. If you get that feeling, mm-hmm. that it's your loved one, and not the bird, not that the bird is your loved one, but your loved one is sending the bird your way, then I would say it's a sign. You know, we always talk about the signs being attached to some inner knowing that you have. So it depends. If something is really rare and doesn't happen that much, and all of a sudden it happens, or a lot of people talking about, you know, missing their loved one, and then suddenly the song comes on the radio that your loved one used to love, or you're behind a car and you're thinking about your loved one, and boom, there's a license plate that directly is related, you know, to your loved one. I mean, a lot of people accept that as really, you know, great signs. So it really is up to you. But we do know that our loved ones will send signs. I mean, people have been receiving signs, you know, since the dawn of man. So it's whether you choose to accept them and recognize them. So it's very likely that these things are communications from your person.
Yeah, and realize that your loved one is pure energy now, and being energy, it's easy for easy may be the wrong word, but often they can implant that energy into your electrical system, where a TV will turn on or off, lights will flicker on and off, things like that. They can do that because they meld with the electricity and they bring their energy in to create that. And I believe, too, birds and small animals, their brains are like our brains, but they're not sophisticated enough to doubt things. And so if you get into the synapses of a bird, you can say, well, fly over to that tree right now and look in the window, things like that. They can be manipulated in that way.
And I like to remember how it makes you feel, because as you said, you've lost somebody recently and you're grieving them. And then suddenly something catches your eye, and you might not have even in that moment been thinking about them, but then that bird gets your attention and you're like, that's unusual. And you start thinking about what that could mean. Your grief, you know, sort of calms down for a moment because you're busy now thinking, could that be my loved one? And they're visiting me. And the way it makes you feel is what's important.
Yeah, and I remember when my father passed away and my mother got the call. And I live about 5 minutes from her. And then she called me and told me that he was gone. And obviously she was upset, so I jumped in my car and went over to see her. And as soon as I turned my car on, the Mary Wells song, "Nothing You Can Say Can Take Me Away From My Guy." And now that's been almost 20 years now, but every time I hear that song, I think of my father and my mother. So
what a nice memory.
Mm-hmm. So embrace them, Cassie.
Okay.
And also, you know, if you wanted to almost keep a little signed journal and jot down notes, because then when you're talking about it later, you might doubt yourself and think, what was that? And then you might see how many times this sign appears while you were thinking of something or while you were doing something else, but then it caused you to think about your loved one. So there's so much more to it than we can understand.
Yeah, that's an excellent point, because a lot of times the signs are very subtle, like I say, a song or a bird or a coin on the ground or a feather or something like that. And you think, it's coincidence or, you know, I see that all the time. But if you keep a journal and after, you know, months, or you go back and you read the journal and you see just how connected and how the patterns form, it really helps.
Okay.
Thank you. I will do that.
Hope that addresses some of your question, Cassie. Thanks for calling.
It does. Take care. And I want to thank you.
Okay. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Now here's one I don't quite know what to make of it. Maybe you guys do. This person had a reading with one of our certified mediums, and the medium relayed, I won't read the whole thing, but the medium relayed information from this person's son, who transitioned to the afterlife about 5 months ago. And the son had a lot of issues while in this life. And her son, according to the medium, said that she was training. The son was saying that she's training to do higher work with the council, who are ethereal beings in a beautiful, heavenly, majestic building with a buttress and columns, and she wants to know what this means. Well, I don't know what it means. I mean, first of all, I mean, it's not anything that we can validate, obviously. You know, it's not a piece of evidence that we can say whether it's true or not. It's rare that we see the medium communicate things like that, you know, that but maybe the medium is getting it from the sun, and maybe the sun is seeing her future, you know, her after her demise of physical death. And we know, we were just talking about, people report these buildings with buttresses and so forth, and the beautiful setting, and near-death experiences talk about similar things. So maybe the medium was getting a glimpse of what's yet to come for her. What do you think?
I hope that the sitter, the person receiving this information, didn't feel that meant the end was near for her, because time is irrelevant on the other side. And so whatever the medium may have been seeing could be, you know, decades away. I don't know the age of the woman, but it certainly could be just foreseeing what's in store for her.
Yeah.
And I don't know about the building, but I again, in a reading from my father through a medium, talked about appealing to the higher beings to help with a problem. And so, yes, and what we talked about before, that there are levels of vibration and frequency, that we're here, they're here, but there are more above. And you can, I guess, if you're in the middle there and you need help, you can go appeal to the, what they call the council.
Yeah. This is a long question, and I'm not going to get into all of it, but basically they're asking about mediums channeling religious figures like Jesus or Yeshua or so forth, Muhammad. I've never, at least with the mental mediums that we're familiar with, had any of them that said that they're getting indirect communication with a religious figure. I mean, they may receive inspiration from them, but in terms of channeling information, that's something that I've never heard.
I'd hate to say I'd be skeptical just because that sounds, I'm sorry, I'm thinking of the word almost pompous, like you're connected to, you know, Jesus but having said that, why not? I mean, why not? If somebody walked to the earth at one point.
Well, you don't have to be, I guess you don't have to be a medium. There are many people that will tell you that they communicate with God on a regular basis, you know, so, you know, that why not communicate, you know, with Jesus or any other founder, you know, of religion. It's just, we've never come across it, you know, and the mediums that we've come across have never witnessed any of that going on. So that's the only thing we could say about that. here's one that was concerning. You know, this woman went to a psychic who said that her daughter, who recently crossed, was in limbo and that there was darkness. And she goes on that her daughter was handicapped and nonverbal and autistic. Do you have any thoughts on the handicap crossing? Because she said, I would have thought that, you know, her daughter would have gone, you know, straight up with the angels. And I actually responded to this person when I saw her because I said, A, it sounds like you went to a psychic and not a medium. And she confirmed that it was a psychic who, I don't know where she came across her, but was giving her all sorts of stuff. And I mean, I reassured her that mediums, again, in readings, they never, have you ever seen a medium communicate that somebody was in limbo?
No.
Never.
Isn't a limbo, really.
Yeah. I mean, hundreds and hundreds. And why would you say that to somebody? And that there was darkness, you know? I mean, that's something that an ethical practitioner, an evidential medium, would never do. So, you know, as far as what somebody's physical condition has no bearing on their passing and where they wind up, you know, in the afterlife. So the whole thing was just preposterous, but it just pisses me off, you know, that somebody would give information like that, right?
Yeah.
Me too. I mean, any sort of disability that, was it a daughter had? Would drop away. She would just be a spirit.
Yeah.
Able-bodied as any other spirit on the other side.
I've been witness to many readings of someone who was in a wheelchair, and they come back and say, "Hey, I'm dancing now." Yeah. You know, so and the near-death experience. It's all light. It's love and light when you get there. So, be wary, yeah. There's probably way more charlatans than there are legitimate mediums, so be careful.
Here's one. Can our loved ones in spirit continue to do the things that they loved on earth, such as play sports and music? Well, I know that Tom's going to be playing guitar on the other side, that's a given. And we talked about this. I mean, pretty much we feel that they could do whatever they want to do. So I think that it doesn't end. Perhaps it just begins. And I shudder to think what kind of guitar player you're going to be in the afterlife.
Yeah, I mean, in the book, I just read a chapter in the Unobstructed Universe where they talk about that there are really no geniuses here on Earth. That all of the genius moments, most of them, they did leave a little thing that sometimes some earthbound person can be genius, but that all of the great discoveries were given to these people. And they attest to it. Einstein said his theory of relativity came to him in a dream. Talk about music. Keith Richards wrote Satisfaction from a dream. He woke up from a dream. He had Satisfaction in his mind. He quickly grabbed his guitar and started recording it. And then when he got up in the morning, he went to the tape and he found 3 minutes of him playing music and then an hour of him snoring. Paul McCartney wrote Let It Be from a dream. So yeah, a lot of, and I feel that way. I feel that the songs I've written have been gifts that I was able to pluck out of the ether, not that I created it from below. So yeah.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I guess the key is also to differentiate, being able to differentiate whether this is a download from some non-physical source versus some internal conscious thought that your brain is generating, because there's a mixture of both, you know. I mean, I was just pondering that. I wrote an article about about thoughts. If I asked you how you received thought, I don't know if you could answer me. I mean, do you hear your own thoughts? Does it come across like verbally, or do you see the words? Or very few people can describe it, mainly because nobody even thinks about it. I mean, we don't pay attention to how we breathe or how we see. It just happens, and we just think, but we never stop to think of how that process takes place. But I think the key is, as Tom said, that artists and inventors and composers and so forth, they know when they're getting this inspiration from an outside force, and they treasure it and they wait for it, you know. So it's really an interesting concept. Some more questions. Are our loved ones in spirit able to move physical objects? And we say yes. Psychokinesis, mind affecting matter, happens in the physical world, and it also happens, somebody still has a conscious mind in the afterlife realm, so they can still move objects. And as Tom was mentioning, you know, lights and movement of objects. So yeah, that happens all the time, manifestations of energy. Follow-up question, do we need to talk out loud to them, or are they able to read our minds? You want to address that, Melissa?
I believe that it helps you if you want to speak out loud, but I know that they can read our minds. They know our thoughts. And often in readings, you'll hear the sitter say, could you ask him why, or ask him where? And the medium should say, you don't need me to ask him. He's hearing you right now. Or, you know, you don't need that conduit. But I think it's not as though all of our thoughts are being read by them, but if we direct our thought at them. I know lately for myself, if I can't find something in the house, or I can't retrieve a name or something along those lines, I'll ask Mom for help. And I'll just go, Mom, help me remember this. Help me just sit quiet. And I pretty much always get either, you know, one could just say, oh, I just remembered. Well, no, I'm giving Mom credit for that, you know, she helped me remember that word. And I'll tell you something silly, not so silly that I did today, but I keep photographs of my parents and Tom's on a desk in our living room. So every single day when I walk into that room, I can greet them. Well, recently I pulled out of our attic an old landline phone. It's still a touch tone, is it? I'd like a rotary one. But I saw that sitting in the hallway upstairs. I picked it up and I started talking. And that felt so good. It was, I mean, I did not get a response. I wasn't waiting or looking for one. Yeah. But I've heard that news story not that long ago where somebody has put an old rotary phone out in the woods somewhere. And I would like to see more of that. I can't picture a line of people. I mean, I don't want to picture a line of people outside, like at the old phone booths, waiting for their turn on the phone. So I'd rather have someone have their own. Because then when I had this little experience, I thought, oh, where could I put this phone outside that the weather wouldn't damage it? Because that would be even more powerful for me to be outside in nature where you almost might think you are getting a response, or you will get a response. So
good.
No, I've lost track of the questions.
Yeah, and speaking of that, I believe it was Thomas Edison who, at the time of his death, he was working. His goal was to invent a phone that could phone spirit world. And there are people today that are still trying to develop that. So that'll be interesting if it ever comes to pass.
Yeah, and sometimes it's not the apparatus itself. It's just spirit finding a way. I know Cal Cooper in his book, Telephone Calls from the Dead, I mean, talks about a non-working old, phone that was on the wall. I think it was a payphone, you know, attached, but it wasn't, there were no wires attached to it or telephone lines attached. And yet people were still getting voices from it, you know. So, yeah. And remember that Bacci in Italy, who did all the EVP and instrumental transcommunication work, he had this old transistor radio, and people used to come from all over the world and sit with him, and he would pick up voices over these transistor tubes, you know, that were in the radio. And then one day the tubes broke, or he decided to take out all of the tubes, so it was non-functional, and yet the voices still came through. So, you know, if they want to get through, they're going to get through. It doesn't matter what kind of apparatus, you know, that you have.
Yeah, that reminds me of a story I've told several times, but I love it. So I was in Maine. I was on a radio program, and I had a copy of a new song that a friend of mine, Jerry Duggar, did a cover of one of my songs. And I was so excited about it, I played it on the radio. And then we went to a break, and the door opened, and one of the interns came in and handed a note to the DJ that said that he knew Jerry and wanted me to say hi to Jerry for him. He was a bartender at the Dan Lynch Blues Bar in New York City. So I went back to New York, and I saw Jerry, and I said, "Hey, Jerry, you know, Mike said hi." "Who, Mike who?" The bartender from Dan Lynch. And he just, his mouth dropped open, because the guy had died 2 weeks earlier. So it happens. And then here's, how can you make that up? I mean, the person knew the name, the everything. This person in Maine who had no clue who any of these people were.
And Bob had that experience with his own doctor at one point, who had a phone call.
Yeah, we don't have time for that now, but we have a few minutes left. Here was one that made me think. You know, the question was, how do spirits connect with you? Will people and spirits who you knew a long time ago be able to reach you if you think of them? I listened to all the old Forever Family Foundation radio shows. She says, would Fran know I'm thinking of her even though we never met? So, yeah, I mean, that's possible. I mean, we are all connected. I think by thinking of somebody, it somehow crystallizes that connection.
Yeah.
Sort of like collapsing the wave, you know. So maybe that's true, that, it's the same principle. We are not, yet you wake up one morning and you're thinking about a friend of yours who you haven't seen in 20 years. And then you get an email or a phone call from that friend out of the blue that you haven't seen or talked to in 20 years, like you were thinking of them, and it sort of collapsed the wave, and now that connection is crystallized. So so I think that it doesn't matter chronologically, you know, how long it's been. You know, it's if you're thinking of them somehow in ways that we can't really understand, the connection is made and it happens. So.
And I think it's important to say their name. So if this gal, just says, "Hi, Fran, I'm thinking of you." I've been telling people this. I think it's like in a crowded room when you hear your name and you suddenly tune into, what are they saying about me? Even though it's a busy, crowded conversation around the whole room, and you hear your name, you lean in to listen. And I think spirit does that too.
I think so. One of the great mysteries. We'll find out eventually. So
I love a mystery, and especially ones that could really happen.
Yeah. Well, we've reached just about the end of our time. Thanks to everybody who sent their questions in. We'll see you next month with the gathering show, and keep those questions coming in or call us. Thanks, everybody. And
I'd like to say our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.